Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you. Well, not the podcast, really. We hope you listen to lots of great podcasts.
One of the podcasts.
One of the podcasts for you. We hope to be a podcast for you. I'm going to have to really work on this. But anyways, we are back for the Halloween episode. Episode 31.
Oh.
Ha-ha!
Okay.
You were like, it's not Halloween, jackass.
It's like, I know people have been reminding me how close Halloween is.
In fact, you can tell the date because if you listen very close to this podcast, maybe not that closely, you will probably hear explosions in the background. We are recording this 4th of July weekend, not on 4th of July itself, 4th of July weekend, but yet it has been like nonstop firework for the past week almost in our neighborhood. So yes, if you do hear the original boom, you know, that's what's going on. And in other
audio... thank you for worrying about us in New Orleans. It's not gunfire this time.
Not gunfire this time.
At least we hope.
And other my nightmare in editing news this week.
Yeah.
Crystal.
I have a cold.
Crystal
sick.
Sick.
So, I'm going to be even quieter than usual.
Wow, now I'm coughing. This is not a good day.
No.
But yes, we have...
Coughing is reserved for the sick. Stop it. Stop.
I am banned from coughing. All right. Well, anyways, we got some items of business to get through before we kick into our main show's theme, main theme of this week. So, first off, it's conference reminders, as we are wont to do every episode. Crystal, do us the honors.
All right. Starting off, Chicago Frights, July 29th through 31st, Orland Park, Illinois, Giorgio's Quality, and in sweetchicagofrights.com.
Also, be sure to check out the latest episode of Haunt Topic with an interview with Leonard Pickle all about that exact conference.
Yes.
Highly recommend you check that out. Then after that, it's Haunt Fair. That's Haunt -FAIRE, the weird old-timey spelling of fair. It is August 6th through 7th at the Clarion Hotel in Rancocoma, New York. I think I got through that pretty well. It is at haunt-fair.com. Once again, remember the weird spelling of fair. There's going to be a fashion show, car show, art show, and much, much more. And there's even a haunted tour bus of Long Island. It's not a haunted tour. It's actually a bus that will drive you around and point out haunty things in Long Island. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
No, right. And then we have Scare LA, August 6th and 7th at the Pasadena Convention Center. ScareLA.com is the website to find out more information. Elvira is hosting.
All kinds of wonderful celebrity tidbits and all that jazz taking place there.
Ha ha.
Then we have a new addition to our list. We actually owe Brian Foreman and Haunt Topic for the heads up on this one.
Right.
It's the Halloween. Wow, two mentions for Haunt Topic and just the conference reminder.
Yeah, we're on the
roll. I have to charge him for advertising space at this, but I'm just teasing. No one would pay that. But it's the Halloween and Haunt Fest, August 27th and 28th. It'll be at the Arlington Convention Center at Arlington, Texas. It's HalloweenandHaunt.com. Right now, if you use the code EARLYBIRD, you will get 25% off your ticket. Once again, thanks, Brian and Haunt Topic, for the heads up.
Yep. And then September 9th through 11th, there's Mask Fest at Marriott Indianapolis East. MaskFest.com for more information.
Yes, and now, after haunt season is done, if you want to do more haunty stuff...
Who doesn't?
Exactly, who doesn't? The people behind Transworld are providing us with a legendary haunt tour. It's November 11th through 12th. You can learn more at legendaryhaunttour.com. Two T's there. Do not get that wrong. They will be visiting the Scare House and the 100 Acres Manor.
Right.
It's in Pittsburgh. Hotel is TBA. But yes, it should be an excellent conference with some good tours.
Yeah.
All that sounds absolutely smashing.
Yes. Completely.
Now we have some less than smashing new stuff to discuss. But yeah. I gotta say, I'm really proud of my industry today. We're not gonna talk about this in too much detail right now.
Right. We're gonna cover it more on the news episode next week, but we were just alerted to it and wanted to get it at least a little bit in.
There has been a Facebook group set up called Haunters Against Hate. It's facebook.com/hauntersagainsthate. Great group. It's organized by over 20 plus haunts who have come together, unfortunately, due to some rather horrible things said by one of the two people behind Ohio Valley Haunts, the review group, a very previously very well-respected review group. They said some pretty disgusting things, I'll just put it that way, in the wake of the Orlando shooting.
Yeah.
But our industry, as it is wont to do, rallies around its own and has done a great deal to decry this. And definitely go and join Haunters Against Hate on Facebook. And we will talk more about it and give more details of what took place next week when we do the news.
Right.
That about covered?
Yep. We need to give a quick shout out, though, to Emily Elswick for letting us know about it.
Yes. Appreciate the heads up. We appreciate all the heads up we get.
We do.
Because we try to be everywhere. We try to be supermen and women of the haunt scene, but obviously that is not physically possible. So if you find information like this or conferences we missed or anything like that, let us the hell know, please. Either on Twitter at Haunt Weekly or Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Yes, apparently no one was really vying for the name, is what I learned. Really, it's available everywhere. Instagram, everything. Okay, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, let us know. Send us a message. We will read it. We will respond. We appreciate your info. So, we wanted to do something about our process this week, specifically our process for coming up with the story and the theme of the haunt.
Right, because we've talked about different ways to write your story, but we haven't talked about specifically what we do.
And it's always been interesting because we're actually going through a lot of the process right now.
Yes.
And this is like theming time for us.
Right.
Theming time! Ding, 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 ding.
Oh. Well, we have a list of themes, but yeah, this year I was like, I'm tired of decorating houses. Can I decorate something else, please?
Well, it's always weird. We have a list of themes. Because you're absolutely right, we do have that. It's like we have a list of Haunt Weekly episode topics that we can pull from. But just as with both, we've never actually pulled an idea straight off that list.
No.
We've always thrown in a curveball. We've always done something a little different. And then, so yeah, but it's bizarre for us because, yes, we have a list of ideas, but we never actually really pull from it directly.
Right.
Which I think is the best way, honestly, because that means we're always, the idea is always remaining fluid. It's not, okay, 2017, we're doing this. 2018, we're doing that. 2019, we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's
now,
like
I
that.
Will say that if you have a huge haunt or a huge pro haunt, you probably do want to do that.
Yeah, a little bit.
You probably do want to plan a little bit better than we do.
Well, at least to some degree.
Yeah.
But try to have a little flexibility for the love of God.
Well, yeah.
So, I wanted to first start off by talking about what I consider our style.
Okay.
Because I think our style is fairly, the types of themes we do, I think, are fairly unique in the haunt industry.
I do, too. It's one of the reasons we do so many houses.
Well, the focus for us is always realistic horrors.
Right. Yeah, we don't do a lot of monsters or aliens or even zombies or...
Yeah, we don't do...
If it's not something that could actually exists in this world, it probably doesn't exist in our haunt.
Yeah. Every story we've told in our haunt, at least theoretically, could happen.
Yes.
And given, you know, the history of New Orleans, may have happened at some point.
Right.
Because that's kind of like our secret sauce there.
Yeah.
A little bit, and they're giving it away in the podcast for freebie. No, but
it's our root.
It's our root, is that we try to pull something from history.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, man, New Orleans history been our bestest friend of this haunt.
Yeah.
You never let us down, New Orleans. You messed up little town. Oh my God. This city is a freak.
And yeah. more ways than one.
There's always something good to pull from. And that's just it's like every time I think, I learned all the weird crap that happened in New Orleans, someone comes in and says, nope, did you hear about this?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's one of those towns where there's always messed up stuff that happened between the hurricanes, the diseases, the murderers, the crime.
Right.
The other types of crime. Yeah, we've always had horrible things. But we'd like to take these ideas from history and then put our own spin on them.
Right.
We don't want to just, like, retell history. We're not a flipping museum here.
No.
We're not like that lame death museum.
Oh, God. We may have to do another episode on...
Just on that.
Just because that...
That's a long story.
Anyway.
We're not trying to retell
history. Moving on.
For the love of God. We're not trying to retell history. We're trying to use it as sort of a touchstone to make people sort of go, wait. This happened? Did it happen? Did it not happen?
We get that question all the time. Oh, God.
We are constantly asked if it's true.
Yeah.
And I always tell people the truth. No.
Yeah.
When people ask, I'm always honest. No, I will say that certain elements are true. Yes, we based upon an actual hurricane that maybe hit New Orleans in the 1800s.
Right.
Yes, we based it on an actual serial killer that stalked the city or stalked another city.
Right.
Yes, we based elements on it, but no, this exact story did not happen. But we're constantly asked if it's true. It's probably the number one question I get working front of house.
I could see that.
Is it true? Is it true? Well, actually, no, I think number one is it scary?
Yeah.
No. I flipping hope so, you little brat.
We put a lot of work to make it scary.
If it's not scary, you're not going to be the only one disappointed, I'm just saying.
Yes.
And those are usually the ones that leave peeing, so it usually works out pretty well for me. I've never been the mean one that asked them, so was it scary as they're leaving crying? But I've wanted to a couple of times. I'm a good host.
Yes.
But I always think it.
Yeah.
But yes, we are constantly asked if it's true. But like I said, we don't want to disparage or hurt anyone. That's why we don't cover real stories.
Right.
Real horrors of New Orleans are real horrors, and they have people who are ancestors or descendants. But also, it makes it so that we still own the story.
Yes. Back to that whole making yourself unique and protecting your intellectual property.
Copyright, bitches!
Yes.
We own this. And that copyright and trademark to a degree, bitches.
Yeah.
We own this. Yes, other haunts are free to talk about hurricanes and things from New Orleans history, but they can't use our exact story.
Right.
Which I do like that little bit of extra comfort, because no one's tried to plagiarize us yet.
Well, yeah, they're just now finding out about us.
But
we're just now getting, you know, visitors from the big haunts in the area.
Oh, yeah. No, we've had some rapport in the past.
Yeah.
But that seems
to be... But it seems to be getting more and more.
There's an ebb and a flow to that, where every time it ebbs in, it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets a little bigger. It's like a wave that's going upward.
So we should have much more this year.
Yes, we should, is what I'm saying. I think that's very, very
four
likely.
Four or five last year. Okay.
But like I said, our style is realistic horror. Things that could happen. We believe that human is the scariest creature of all.
Yeah, no kidding.
The greatest enemy to nature, man. That's the mentality of our haunt.
All right, Disney.
So this begs the question, how do we choose our stories and what do we cover exactly?
Right.
Well, the first thing we do is we look at what we have.
Yes.
This is actually a really important question for us.
Right, because how many limbs do we have? How many body bags? Do we have anything that we've seen either online or that we could make or purchase reasonably cheap that we could incorporate into the story?
Yeah, because budget is probably the single biggest constraining factor we have.
Yeah, well, it definitely is, because we...
budget, I think budget and space fight a little bit there for the biggest constraintment.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because we are a small haunt.
Yeah.
We do a lot with very little space.
Yeah. No, nobody expects what...
No one expects
I know. I knew you were going to do that. God damn it.
You set it up, though.
I know. But, no, that's one of the things I hear most often inside, is it still going?
Yeah, well...
And outside, as people are leaving, Wow, how big was that?
I've actually developed a term for that.
Yeah.
I call it TARDIS syndrome.
Oh, God.
Where it's suddenly it's bigger on the inside.
Yes.
And a lot of that comes to the using the winding paths, eliminating line of sight.
Right.
All those things.
Yeah, it makes it feel a lot bigger because you're going through six complete scenes.
And I'll say this, our haunt, as far as feeling big, feels bigger than some, like, 2,000, 3,000 square foot haunts I've been through.
Right.
That didn't do proper line of sight. They didn't do proper, you know what I mean? They have a big haunt.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of straight shots and you're constantly going from A to B. It feels so much bigger because of that, because you just walk so long.
Yeah.
Look, and I'll put it like this. Our walkthrough is so long that we got fed up doing it and put shortcuts on the haunt so we didn't have to. Also great for actor runs, but initially it was just, I'm tired of carrying everything all the way around the damn haunt.
Right.
But yeah. It was back to the story. So, yeah, we have to look at what we have. Like, we've had for a long time a really, really great story we wanted to tell about a group of people who lived underground.
Yes.
We've never been able to execute it because we didn't have the stuff or access to it in a cost-effective way that we needed. That story is still on the shelf for us. It's been on the shelf for like 7 years.
I know.
It's frustrating. And I love that tale. It's one of the best ideas I think we've come up with. But we got to start with what we have, and what we have doesn't lend itself to that.
Right.
So, like I said, we're looking at what we own, what's already built.
How much moving around?
Yeah, would it take?
Walls, would it take? Yeah.
Because we only do complete teardowns every few years. We've gotten, we used to do it every 3, but we've even started doing it less than that.
Right. I think this is the 4th year with the current layout, but that's because it's a really good layout.
Yeah, it's probably the best layout from a strategic standpoint.
Right.
In terms of eliminating like line of sight and all that stuff we were discussing.
Right, and we are doing a couple of changes this year into the layout.
It's not like we just leave everything in place.
Oh, no.
No, no. But as far as like the complete tear down, all the panels in the corner of the garage thing.
Yeah, that, remember that we have a big garage?
Yeah, every time we do it, I end up taking like a bunch of photos of the garage.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe how big it is.
Right.
It's like, holy crap! Yeah. I can move!
Yes.
I can put stuff in here!
Yes.
Why do we do this haunt thing again? Oh, yeah, we love it. We think about what types of scares we want to come in. We've actually built entire stories around a great scare idea we had.
Right. Yeah, and basically we do try to add one big scare every year. And that does take a central role in the story.
Yeah, it has to. Because you want people to be anticipating. Like when we do like the drop ceiling type things.
Right.
I want to make sure that the guests know they're supposed to be looking up.
Yeah.
This is like one of the functions your backstory has.
Right.
What should I be looking for as I'm going through your haunt?
Right. And in that story, I believe that the death of the killer, because although he's back, he died originally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
all our stories end with the death of the killer.
Right.
But that's the idea of Bernie Baxter, is that he's bringing them back.
Right.
They're returning.
So that one, the house collapsed on him.
Yeah.
You know, and so then you know that, you know, walls and ceilings could fall, and they do.
Woo, weird how that works. Yeah, that was the year we built the entire collapsing tunnel.
Right.
That was really awesome. And it scared the ever-loving bejesus out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, so we think about the scares we want to put in. What's on sale has actually played a huge role in stories.
Yeah.
One year we acquired a crap ton of spider-related stuff, super cheap.
Yeah, I know.
And it ended up being a central theme in a story.
Yeah, we wound up changing the story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the story was not to pen and paper yet.
Yeah.
It was just a dream I had, because that's the kind of person I am, is...
You dream about this stuff.
I do. I had a wonderful... Anyway. It's unlike the other dream where, you know,
I'm panicked about haunting.
Like, it's opening time and everybody's outside and we're not done. I've already had that dream this year. So.
But yeah.
But yeah, what's on sale? Big spiders. So we did a whole spider layer, and the killer fed the victims to the spiders.
Had all these prized spiders.
Right.
But needed to eat some kind of rare meat. And yeah. Human flesh was the only thing. We actually spun a pretty good tale around it.
Ha ha.
Ha.
We did.
And of course, time and money available is a huge issue, too. We are a free haunt at the end of the day, so budget is everything. We do not have a lot of money to put into this.
Right, and we also have to budget out for all of the haunts we plan on visiting that year. That is part of our Halloween budget.
Yes.
So if we plan on visiting more haunted houses, haunted attractions, then we have to take that out of the budget for our haunt.
Yeah, and the reality of it is there's been plenty of great ideas that we just could not build cheaply enough.
Right.
A larger budget, we would have been able to pull them off pretty easily.
Yeah, I think last year we spent about $900 on haunted houses.
Yeah.
On going to haunted houses, and probably 3 to 4 on building ours.
Yeah. And a lot of that is because we've acquired so much with the haunt already.
Right. Well, we've acquired it, and we got really smart about building walls to where they're completely reusable.
Yeah.
You
know, and though we are moving slowly away from OSB into plywood, that's one of the next big objectives.
Right. It's like our walls keep evolving with the haunt. Because it started out... Well,
crappy masonry.
Yeah. That was the first year here.
Yeah.
The first year that was a quick throw together was plastic.
Yeah, plastic sheeting.
Yes, and if you plan on actually scaring people, that's not a good idea.
It's
not a good idea for other reasons.
Fire code, safety, everything.
We had one day. 100 square foot.
We had one day, 100 square feet. We just wanted to do something in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina for the city.
Right.
We literally threw it together with what we could get at Home Depot, which was really limited because the reconstruction of New Orleans was going on.
Oh, yes.
2x4s and OSB/plywood were non-existent.
Right.
So we were stuck with 2x2s and tarp.
Yep.
And I gotta say, we did good with what we had.
We did.
We did really flipping good.
Yeah.
But, in fact, the only actual panel was the draw panel we had.
Right.
And that was built in the upstate and trucked down whole.
Yes.
Because they actually had the resources up toward Alexandria and so forth.
Correct.
But we could, that was the only thing we could do that with.
So, yeah, it was that, and then Masonite, and then we started using the
OSB.
OSBs.
We've been using painted OSB.
Yeah.
And we're moving to plywood, I think, in the longer term as panels break and get wounded.
Yeah.
We're going to move. But I think that I'm not doing the thing that I did with Masonite where it's like, in 2 years' time, every one of those is gone.
Yeah.
It's going to be just as we get it done. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It can take its time.
Well, and the other thing with the OSB is if the ones that are heavily painted.
Yeah.
Like, have a lot of texture and detail, those are fine.
No.
You know, there's no reason to replace those because the advantage of
the plywood
is to make it a smoother surface to paint on.
Yeah.
And
lighter to move, too. But
lighter to move, and you have less splinter.
Yeah.
Possibilities.
But yeah, we're not in any rush. Anyways, that's a total side conversation there. Time, money, and available. And we also talk about our limitations. We have things in our haunt that we cannot change.
Right.
Try as we might, we have a very small haunt.
Yeah.
There are certain parts of the haunt, like the workshop area, that are built into the garage.
Right.
That we can hide.
Yeah.
But then we waste a crap ton of space.
Yeah, we have hit it quite a few years.
Yeah, it's just that kills a bunch of square feet that I think we can use.
Right. Well, and the other big issue we have as far as the construction of the haunt goes is the garage door.
Yeah.
Because that does not go all the way up to the ceiling. We have to stop, and all the walls have to be like right under 7 feet.
Yeah.
I think it's like actually 6'7".
Yeah. It's close to 7 feet.
Yeah.
But not exactly. But there are things that we cannot change.
So if we wanted to do a drop, something that dropped from the ceiling, we can't do it in that part, but we can do it further back where we have the
rafters and everything else.
Right. The whole use of the ceiling area.
So yeah, we have these limitations. Those have to be factored in the story too, because like you said, we can't have a story that involves like a killer jumping down and kidnapping people
right
from the outset. We can't do that. That's nope. That's a physical limitation of the haunt. Even if that sounds totally badass, can't do it. So, and then we try to focus on what is going to make the best story, because we want, ideally, a very simple story.
Yes.
But it has to be both believable and foreign.
Right.
It has to be something that people can go, that could actually happen, even if they don't believe it did, or they're not asking me whether or not it did.
Right.
But it still feels like an alien environment to them. So I like to play with time periods a lot.
Yeah.
Because, newsflash, no one alive today was alive in the 1860s.
Right.
No one knows what it was like.
Nope.
So that's going to feel really weird.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel really weird, and it's going to make it so that they have to, they feel like a fish out of water, but at the same time, they still feel like it's plausible.
Right.
And then we come up with the name, which is always one of the funniest parts of the process, because we have a theme with this of alliteration.
Yes.
It's like Mama's Mob, Bernie's Bash, Vincent's Victims,
Kane's Collection.
Kane's Collection. You know, we have this alliteration thing we do.
Yep.
I don't know why we did it. We just, it got started. And it hasn't stopped.
It's like the song that doesn't end.
And now we're known for it, so now it's really hard to stop it.
Yeah.
But, so yeah.
Well, it's just catchy.
It is catchy.
That's all.
And it makes for great flyers, too, I'll say that. So we come up with a name that has that alliteration in it.
Right.
And it actually makes it a lot easier to come up with a name in some ways, because you know the format it's going to take.
Right, and sometimes we hide in secrets into the name, little Easter eggs, you know, nods to like Vincent Price or other actors. This year we are actually looking, I'm going to give a little bit away.
All right.
Cause we have one of two things possibly planned.
Yes.
We're not sure which one we're going with, but one of them, we are researching actual Cajun names and getting the alliteration from that.
Yes.
Choosing one that we, that'll fit with what we're trying to do and, you know, go from there.
Yeah, because that's one thing we realized going to this year, 10 years of doing this now, we've never really done anything Cajun.
No, we haven't done Cajun. We did do a Mardi Gras theme.
We did a Mardi Gras theme.
That was fun.
The Killer Crew.
Yes. KK.
Be careful with that alliteration. I'm glad it wasn't the Klutzy
killer. No, don't even go there. Don't even go there.
Oh, it could have been nasty. Long and short of it is, though, we tried to do that alliteration. It's something we're known for, and we're trying to keep that one going.
Right.
Okay, so then we have to flesh out the details. We've got the general idea. The details, and this is our system of doing it. Everyone's like, it's a different. We try to do it by going room to room to room in the haunt.
Right.
As best as we can.
And basically how that happens is, well, this year at least, we were sitting there and we were tossing back and forth ideas, two ideas, really, that we were going over. And Jonathan's like, okay, so what's the outside going to look like? So then I'm a visual person, so I can actually visualize entire rooms completely done in my head.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But so I described it. It's like, okay, what's the next room? Take a minute, describe that one, you know? And that's how we do that.
Well, and this year's theme also came once again from something we were able to find on Deep Discount.
Right. So we have a fabric store closing near us.
Yeah, Hancock Fabrics is closing. Haunters will be alert to this.
Yeah.
And we ended up purchasing a crap ton of a very special kind of vinyl. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
At bargain basement prices that we're going to be using.
Yes.
So,
like 40 cents a yard.
Yeah, it was ridiculously cheap, and it's going to be used in two rooms of the upcoming haunt. But yeah, we're always asking, what's the entrance, what's the first room, what's the second room, and what narrative comes from that.
Right.
And we try to figure out, you know, how do we string these beads together into a fairly straightforward and simple tale.
Right. Like the year that we did the Killer Crew.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun because it started out as you were, after you got into the entranceway, It was like a haul of cheesy Mardi Gras crap that you would buy at a Mardi Gras supply store.
Because we did.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And there was the name on a clock. I don't know how many people caught the clock, but the clock was there with Killer Crew around
it. Yeah, it was the crew of Clockwork was the crew.
Right. So it was
which
all
is not
around
a real crew, by the way. It's totally made up crew.
And that was a C for Clockwork, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's worth mentioning. Yes, it is.
Yes. So then you went into the bead room, where there were beads hung from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went into the costumes, because the crews here wear costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went into the factory area. And
we should clarify, for those not in the New Orleans area, a Mardi Gras crew... It's basically an organization puts on one of the parades.
Right.
They build the floats or pay to have the floats built. They do the costume. They throw the beads.
Right.
These are very, very big institutions in New Orleans.
Yes. Yeah. Just in case you live somewhere that hasn't heard of...
Or in context, clues weren't enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so the narrative we came was, okay, we're obviously taking them through a crew warehouse.
Right.
And most crews do have them here.
Yes.
So, we're taking their crew warehouse. What happened in this warehouse?
And why did...
Why are people going to it?
Why are people going to it, and why did people... Why did they start killing people?
Yeah, exactly. And then you work backwards from what you have and what you're decorating. And I find that right. to be the easiest way to do this, because we have to start building, you know, now.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But the story doesn't have to be ready until September.
Right.
When we start promoting. And so, we have time now to start figuring out the rooms, what's going to be everywhere. Not finish it all, but figure all that stuff out, and then write the full story from it. That's kind of the way it's always worked out.
Right. Obviously, for bigger haunts, you want to do this part of the process earlier.
So timeline's going to shift, yeah. But I think the idea is still there.
Yeah.
Of build your haunt and design your haunt, and then write the story to fit the haunt.
Right.
And I think that's something a lot of haunts really don't get, is that they build they try to write to a theme or to a story, and then end up having a haunt that doesn't really tell that story.
Right. Yeah, you need to make it cohesive.
Yeah, it's much easier to make it cohesive if you have a theme, if you have a style, and then you find a way to string the story together afterward.
Right.
This is like,
I'm not sure if that's contradictory to what we said.
I don't remember, but yeah.
But because we've done it both ways.
Well, and the thing about it is this. You're going to have to do some element of both.
Right.
Because we know what the central story is right now.
Yeah.
We know what it is this year. We're not telling.
Not yet.
Not yet. Maybe later. So we know what the central story is. We wrote that part out. That has to be done first. But then we're going into the haunt to build the rooms related to that central theme.
Right.
And then stringing together the details of the story.
Right.
So the two are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
If we did say the opposite, we're not wrong.
Yeah. No, we came up with a theme and the basic outline of the story. Then we're going to build the haunt and put in more details into the story.
And possibly change the story.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to change the story to match the haunt. Then vice versa.
Yes.
Much easier.
Okay. I think we got all that cleared up.
Yeah. Thank you for noting that we were just contradicting ourselves.
Yeah.
But yes, that is what we mean by that. You have to do elements of the story before you start work. But once you start work, the story has to bend to what's going on in the haunt.
Right.
I think that summarizes it pretty well.
Yes. Okay.
Be flexible with your story is what it comes down to.
Yes.
And this is where we're doing a lot of the, like I said, we're putting in the big scares. We're doing this, we're doing that.
Right.
We're thinking about what we have time and resources to do, and we're just trying to pull the haunt together inside. Mm-hmm. And we just want to come away with a general idea of how it's going to look and feel. So now we've got a pretty good idea of how the haunt looks and feels.
Yep.
We've got the theme, we got that. Now,
we've got the new big scare.
We got the new big scare or scares.
Yep.
We got to write a story.
Yep.
And for me, my process, and this is the part that I pretty much do myself.
Right.
I sit down and I try to write a full version of the story. I shoot for around 1,000 words,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of words.
Yeah.
for a haunt backstory.
Yeah.
It probably, in some cases, will take you longer to read the story than to go through the haunt, if you read the full version.
Oh, yeah, probably.
At least it's a close race. Sometimes.
But it also, you know, gives us something if we ever do want, if we are ever able to sell merchandise, it gives us something to sell.
Right. So, like I said, we shoot for about 1,000 words. This is a lot of detail.
Yeah.
We're describing the killer, we're describing the house, we're talking about what happened, the sequence of events, why they are the way they are, who they are, and so on and so forth. And not all of this is going to make it into the haunt.
Right.
And that's fine. But what this is, it's ammunition for the actors.
Yes.
The actors go, they read the story, and then they play with it. And we've had this happen multiple years.
Right.
Where I talked at, like, one year, I can't remember which killer it was, it might have been Kane. Talked about how, yeah, I think it was Kane, because it was his mom that destroyed his collection.
Yeah.
Of baseball cards, and then right. he decided to start a new one.
Yes, that actually was based off of my grandmother, because yes. my grandma, when my dad went overseas in the Navy during Vietnam, mm-hmm. he came home, and a lot of his stuff had mysteriously disappeared, including his baseball card collection.
So, yeah, so we turned your dad into a serial killer. But I remember...
That's not a far rage.
I remember, though, I think it was your dad, actually. He was in the haunt.
Yes.
He was playing the part of Kane. So he
yeah.
was playing himself. He read the story.
Right.
And basically, when people would come through, he'd be like, I'm going to kill you like my mom, and just use that part of the story.
Right.
It was not actually something in the haunt.
Yeah.
Because the haunt was about his murders.
Right.
But he used that element of the backstory to scare the ever-loving crap out of some people.
Right.
And add a new level of discomfort to it all.
Yes.
So yes. this is ammunition for the actors. You're giving them stuff they can play with and play off of. Not all of it's going to make it in. That's fine.
Right.
But basically, you want to make it so that there's a lot of ways the actors can interact with the story and stay on topic.
Right. And for the record, Kane's collection was a collection of skulls.
Yes.
A to Z. And we had empty spots based on who was coming in.
Yeah, we would get the names of one of the people coming in. Usually, I would try to get the scariest person in the group.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just evil like that.
Unless they were kids.
And basically, we had 25 skulls in labeled A to Z with obviously one missing.
Yeah.
And the actor in that zone would hear the name called out, go and move the skull so that space was empty.
Right.
Which is weird because apparently Kane was very effective at collecting Z skulls. I don't know. Okay. But anyway, so after we do the 1,000 word story, we shoot a 2 to 3 minute video. I don the mask and the outfit for Bernie Baxter. I tell the story much more briefly. This is a shorter version, fewer details. It will outline, you know, the backstory and the actual killings and actual horror itself, but it's not going to be this detail-rich thing that the 1,000-word version is. And this is the version that we play for people as they're waiting in line. We have
right.
a TV set up. They can come. They can watch the story. It's on repeat. And I expect, personally, this to be the version that 95%+ of people walk into that haunt with.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't expect a whole lot of people to
have read the full story, no.
No.
It's there mostly for the actors at this point.
Right.
And the other thing about the full story is there have been times we've written the full story and said, that element has to be in the haunt.
Yeah.
We have to bring that one in.
Right.
We've got to do something with that. I don't know what, we're doing something with it.
Right. That's too good of an idea to just not use.
It's got to be in there somewhere. So sometimes that happens too. And then after all that, it gets further distilled into a 1 to 3 sentence blurb.
Yep.
And the idea is this is my elevator pitch version of it. Right. I can tell it to newspaper reporters when they call me, ask me about the haunt, tell it to curious people we meet when we're delivering flyers, and also to people who are in line but maybe didn't see the video.
Right.
If we're not running a particularly long line that millisecond. It explains the theme, it explains what's going on. Like with the Kane's collection, it's a good example
right.
of this. Totally drop the mom, totally drop the backstory, and just say it's about a serial killer who collects skulls, one for every letter of the alphabet, A to Z. Good luck.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Godspeed, that's the story. Kane's collection has, I think, a 750 word backstory on the site. Details and imagery and writing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it was distilled into a 2-3-minute video, and then that's the version I would tell people that were asking about it in the front of the line.
Right.
That's it. That's the 3 versions of Kane's collection.
Yeah.
That's a good one to use as our analysis. Maybe I'll link to the Kane's collection story in the show notes. Probably should.
Yeah. If it's available, do it.
I think it's available. They're all available. So yes, that's the version that I tell people at that exact moment if they don't have any other theme in their head. But that being said, when I do that, I always say, go get the full version online or check out the video, because those are much more detailed, much more rich. And sometimes, I've had it happen a few times, where someone will come up, get the elevator pitch version, go through the haunt, really love it, go watch the video, and then want to go right back in to see what they missed.
That's pretty cool.
That
I didn't know that happened.
To see you know,
I
some of the references
that, yeah,
that they might have missed. And
like watching a movie twice.
And that's one of the reasons why we kind of do that, where we sneak in some references to the longer versions of the story.
Right.
It's for those people.
We should really give you cards with, like, where to go exactly for it.
Mm. We should. Now, here's the reality of backstorying for us. Things inevitably go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
This is life on rails here. Because as you've probably noticed, our timing, because of when we're open, how long we're open and everything, we are working through September and October. We're not open until the last week of October, the earliest.
Right. And we are usually working right up until opening day.
Yeah, and sometimes past it. Sometimes opening day is not the full show, kids. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think last year was the first year we had enough support with the build to get everything finished, and I was actually able to sleep before we opened.
Yeah. I remember that.
That was kind of magical.
We actually had 2 very light days before opening of work.
Yeah.
We were mostly just doing clean out.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's really nice, and it's never going to happen again.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
We've still got the same crew.
We do.
Yeah.
But the result of this is that sometimes projects don't get finished.
Right.
Sometimes we get stuff into the haunt, and it just doesn't make sense. It can't fit, like, physically or mentally with what's going on. And if we're at that point, the problem here is we don't modify the story. We really can't.
Yeah.
The story's out there. The video's been shot. It's at that point that we're discovering this, it's too late.
Yep.
Now, that being said, we do modify and alter the elevator pitch version if there's anything in that version that's thrown off by the changes.
Right. But if we make a bold statement in our story that goes out to everybody, we make freaking sure that that's in there somewhere.
Yeah, Kane's collection, going back to that one, because I guess it's our touchstone now for this.
Yeah.
We did not finish the Skull Shrine until the night before we opened.
Right.
But it damn well was in there.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we actually had to rearrange part of the haunt to put it in because we didn't have a good place for it. We thought we did. But it was one of those deals where you look at something in the CAD version, and then you put it in real life, and you realize that people are just going to tear right into it and crash through it.
Yeah.
So we had to do some minor panel rearrangement to get it in there and get it safe.
Right.
And make sure that people, A, would notice it, and B, not just plow straight through it like a bunch of bowling pins.
Right. I think we actually put in an extra wall to lead people directly to it at the end of a short hallway.
Exactly. And then that also let us recess it a little bit, too.
Right.
Which was very helpful. And then people started freaking out because their name was not in the collection. He's coming for you! He's coming for you! Losing the damn mind. That was... I've got to do that again at some point.
Yeah.
But anyways, we don't modify the story. We make sure all the key points are in there. But if some of the details are not, it's okay, because at the end of the day, backstory, it's all about those key moments. It's all about those key elements.
Right.
It's not about the finer details. The finer details are there for those who do notice such things.
Right.
Which are, unfortunately, a very small percentage of our customers. So make sure you have the key elements in there. But, yeah, we do not modify the story just because a single detail couldn't be in there. I remember, like, with one of them, Vincent's Victims, we had a workshop scene that was written into the story.
Yeah.
That never made it into the haunt.
Yeah.
It didn't really need it. Wasn't crucial, but, you know.
That was our first year here.
That was our first year here.
That was our first year.
Oh, really?
We didn't know what we were doing.
We would just slap right out of time. Things happen. You deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But generally speaking, we try to make our story fit our haunt, not the other way around.
Right.
That's the general rule. And the reason is, it's just easier.
It is.
I mean, word process. Look, I can change words right now. I got a laptop. I'm changing the show notes. Words change so
much. Yes, you did. You put all these extra letters at the end. We're not saying all of that. Okay?
But anyways,
Jonathan gets the stare of death. You can't see it because it's a podcast. He was not being nice.
No, I'm not. And that's fair. But yeah, like I said, the reason is quite simple. It's because we can change the words, we can change the story. Up until the last minute, after that marketing goes out, that's when the story's frozen.
Right.
But when we're backstorying, we're constantly shifting the backstory as we're out in the haunt working.
Right. And we do put out that final story the last week of September.
Yes.
Because we don't want to overload people with seeing us out there, because then they'll forget about us.
Right.
We'll have to do a marketing sometime soon. Maybe next.
Yeah.
After the news.
Maybe after. Well, we got another topic we're actually covering urgently after the news.
Right.
We got maybe after that, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, words are free. You don't have to move panels. You don't have to put new paint on anything.
Right.
You don't have to rehang lights.
Nope.
You just change a few words. And that's one of the things I see a lot of haunts do when it comes to backstory, is they get so hung up in their exact story.
Yeah.
That even as the demands of what's going on inside their haunt change, they never change the story. They never respond.
Yeah, and then you just get a cluster duck.
Yeah, and we've seen, like, I don't want to single out a haunt, but I'm going to. The mortuary last year, I think, might have had a wee little bit of that going on.
Yeah,
they had a story that was way too complicated and way too force-fit in the haunt.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
I don't know if it was just overly complicated or a combination of overcomplicated and, you know, trying to force their haunt to fit the story, but it just ended up being a mess.
Yeah, I have to wonder a little bit if with the House of Shock supposed to have not been open last year, they were, but
yeah,
but the build season, it was still up in the air.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if they were trying to replace them or compete with the memory. Because that seems like the way that they were trying to go last year.
Yeah.
The mortuary.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It just fell on its face.
Yeah, it's a very valid question. I don't really know, and
we will have to get one of those guys on here to talk.
Yeah, we are actually working on that. We've got a lot of potential guests lined up in future episodes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Maybe we'll start doing 5 episodes a month if we can get enough people to interview.
Well, we will see what we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, though, the key to a good backstory, I think, is finding a way to thread together a story from what you're doing within your haunt.
Right.
Obviously, you need to have a central theme. You need to have some key points. But how you string all that together, how you flesh it out to a full version, go from a skeleton to a full story,
right?
That's going to be driven by what's in your haunt, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, and well, we've got a few more minutes. We've got like 2 or 3 more minutes left before we need to clock punch out here. Do you really think a haunt needs a backstory?
Oh, gosh.
13th Gate doesn't have one that I know of.
No, and we do like them a lot.
Yeah, the Great Haunt.
Yeah.
Should like them.
Well, yeah, I realize that.
Good on. Should like them, yes. Very good.
I think if you put a backstory out there, your haunt should reflect that story. Yes. If you are just trying to be a haunt that scares people without a backstory, then you don't have to adhere to it. But as soon as you put it out there that this is the tale that we're telling, then you better damn well tell it.
Yeah. And then, and in a way, back, I mean, that makes a backstory kind of a limiter.
Yeah.
Because you do have to tell that backstory. And also, and this is like us shooting ourselves in the foot twice, if you have a central character you've created for your Han, that character better damn well be there.
Yes.
Bernie Baxter better show up at every night a Bernie Baxter's Traveling Sideshow is open.
Yes.
It's fun, but yeah, you better have those things. That being said, I do think, all other things being equal, a haunt with a backstory, a haunt with that element, is stronger than one that doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's
all like, things being equal. That's all things being equal.
Yeah. It's like watching or reading a book with a very thin plot versus one with a very thick and winding one.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about layers.
Yeah, and it, like I said, it adds that extra element to the Han that people don't always get.
Right.
It adds, it's a bonus.
Yeah, because once with a simple story that can be told without even reading anything,
yeah,
it shows. And you get more out of it as a customer than going through it and being torn from scene to scene,
yeah,
without being ever really immersed.
Yeah, there's some good haunts where it's like, well, now I'm underwater. Now I'm here. Now I'm in a steam room. Now I'm
I wonder what you're talking about.
Now I'm here. Now I'm there. Now I'm everywhere. Actually, yeah. I could be describing a couple of haunts.
Yeah, but you never get really immersed in the experience because you're constantly changing your setting.
And as I said before, a good backstory is a means of customer control. You're telling the customer what to look for, where to cast their gaze, and what to be expecting.
Right.
That's a very powerful tool.
Yeah, it is.
It can be. Like I said, we used backstory to get people to look up when they might not otherwise have.
Yes.
And it did seemingly work pretty well. Mm-hmm. You tell people, you know, your story, you tell people what they're in for, they will expect it, and you can then either play with those expectations.
Right.
Or you can use them and make sure they're looking and behaving exactly the way you want at the right time.
Right.
Just remember that it's the hardest part about telling a story with a haunt is that people are scared in a haunt. They're moving quickly. They're not necessarily looking at exactly the things you want them to be looking at.
Right.
And the result of that is you've got to make sure that your story stands on its bullet points.
Yes.
Like, going back to Kane's collection, bullet points, serial killer, collected skulls from every letter of the alphabet, done.
Yep.
That's all you need.
The rest of the haunt could look like anything in the world.
Yeah. That's all the detail you need to enjoy that story.
Yep.
So, think of it that way. I personally like haunts with backstories, but I have not seen very many that I think did backstory extraordinarily well.
Right.
And I think it's because this is neglected, even though it's something that is free to do.
Yeah.
It's free, people. Yeah. It's free. It's why we do it. We're cheap.
Yeah.
We're cheap bastards here. Of course we're going to have a backstory.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's about all the time we have for this week. It's been a fun one.
Yes.
Now we got to go build a haunt. Right, everyone? Everyone sigh. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly. Reminder, find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are Haunt Weekly both places. Like us, follow us, stalk us, all those things. Don't stalk. Please don't stalk us. And also, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere else fine podcasts are distributed. They let us in.
Yes.
I don't know
why.
We're
not fine podcasts.
No, we're not. They let us in anyway. It was very nice of them.
Yes.
Thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week. What, you don't have anything funny for this?
I already said my funny line.
Oh.